Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, if you'd like to join in a pew Bible or your own Bible. Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 4. But before we read God's word, let's first go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, the grass withers and the flower fades, but your word stands forever. Father, we pray that as we read your word, your eternal word, that your Holy Spirit would grant us right hearing, that your Holy Spirit would write your word upon our heart so that we might have life, so that we might have life in your Son, so that we might live life as you desire. To your glory. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 6. We are continuing our study of the Sermon on the Mount. We finished our look at the Lord's Prayer last week. Andrew finished that study where we looked at the Lord's Prayer petition by petition. We're continuing on in Jesus' teaching, Matthew 6, beginning with verse 16. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the word of the Lord. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? This is the question you have to ask yourself after reading these words of Jesus. This is the question that this passage forces you to ask. Where is your treasure? Now, to answer this question, where is your treasure, you actually have to answer a second question. What is your treasure? What is your treasure? In order to know where your treasure is, you have to first know what your treasure is. So what is your treasure? What's your treasure? What is worth more to you than anything else in life? What has the most value in your life? What do you prize above all else? What has the most significance in your life? What is it in your life that you cannot imagine living without? In other words, if you lost everything, if you had nothing, as long as you had it, that one thing, you'd be okay. What is your treasure? Is it money? Is it financial security and peace of mind? Is it work? Your career? How about school? Is it your academic performance? Your degree? Is it your family, your spouse, your children, your parents? Is your home your treasure? How about your truck? Your social connect? Your friends? A romantic relationship? Your health? Your looks? Your wit? A skill? A gift? College sports? Your phone? If any of these are your treasures, they're found here, on earth, in this world. And Jesus says this, don't lay them up. Don't lay them up. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now why? Why would Jesus say that? Why would he say that? Well, because if your treasure is here, if your treasure is on this earth, if your treasure is in this world, then it's going to pass. It's not going to last. Jesus says this about earthly treasures in verse 19. Jesus says, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. If your treasure is here, if your treasure is on earth, in this world, Jesus says, then nature can take it. That's the moth. If your treasure is here in this world, then time can take it. That's rust. If your treasure is here in this world, then somebody else can take it. Thieves. But more important than these things, more important than this, Jesus speaks of earthly treasures because Jesus is concerned about your heart. He's concerned about your heart. He's concerned about the center of your being. He's concerned about the seat of your affections. He's concerned about the source of your will. Listen to verse 21 again. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Because when you know where your treasure is, you know where your heart is. That's what Jesus is saying. When you know where your treasure is, you know where your heart is, because your heart is with your treasure. Which then means this, therefore, what you treasure reveals your heart. What you treasure reveals your heart. What you value above all else, what you give ultimate worth to in your life exposes your heart. How is that? Because what you treasure is what you've centered your life upon. What you treasure is where you attempt to find significance or fulfillment or security or joy in life. It's what you truly love. First. And here's what happens. Here's what happens. Whatever you love first in your life, you are going to serve. Whatever you love first in your life, you are going to sacrifice to. Now, for example, if your career is your treasure, and if that's where your heart is, if that is your first love in your life, then you're going to serve it above all else. You're going to sacrifice time to it, you'll sacrifice family to it, you'll sacrifice everything else in your life to it because it's your first love. It's the same with any other treasure found here, any other treasure found here on earth or in this world. Because what you treasure in your life becomes an idol in your heart, a false god in your heart. that you will worship. Now, the very word worship, I've mentioned this before, but the word worship is from the Old English, worth-ship. It's acknowledging the worth of someone. We worship what we give ultimate worth to. We worship what we treasure. But God created you to worship Him. God created you to love Him. God created you to be centered upon Him, focused on Him, full of Him. Our Old Testament reading was from Deuteronomy 6. And that passage is known as the Shema. In Hebrew, Shema means hear. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment, isn't it? This is God's design for your life. This is how God created you to be. He created you to love Him and to serve Him and to have your heart set upon Him. But our hearts are so often in the wrong place because our treasure is in the wrong place. Our heart is so often in the wrong place because our hearts are broken. Our hearts don't work right. Our hearts don't function as God intended them to function because of our hearts are full of sin. But the good news is this: God will not leave us broken. God will not leave you in this state. And why will He not leave us in this state? Why will He not leave you in this state? Because you are His treasure. You're God's treasure. You are of infinite worth to the Heavenly Father. You are of incalculable value to the Heavenly Father. How do you know that? How do you know that? Because He has shown it. He's shown it. Come to you. He has taken on flesh, and He has sought you out in your brokenness in Jesus Christ. God has shown His great love for you in that He has died for you in Jesus. He died upon the cross to take away your sin. He died upon the cross to take away your idolatry. He died upon the cross so that your broken heart would be mended, so that He might heal it and enable it to work properly as God intended it. Centered upon Him, focused upon Him, full of Him, loving Him. Which means this: it's a heart centered upon Jesus Christ. Coming to faith in Jesus, accepting the salvation that He offers through His death, means that Jesus is your treasure. He's your treasure. He's what you value most, who you give ultimate worth to in your life. And He is a treasure that cannot be destroyed by moth nor rust. He's a treasure that can never be stolen. He's a treasure that's secure, a treasure that's everlasting, a treasure that is eternal. And that's where your heart is. If He is your treasure, that's where your heart is. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I pray that's where your heart is. If it's not where your heart is, know this, you are His treasure, and He longs to be your treasure. Jesus, if you do follow Him, you know that our hearts are a work in progress. I just talked to the kids about this. Sanctification. Our hearts are a work in progress, where we are going to struggle with maintaining hearts centered upon Jesus, focused on Jesus, full of Jesus. In other words, throughout life, we will struggle with other treasures taking the place of Jesus because our hearts are still prone to idols. So what do we do? Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You can't have a divided heart. You can't have two treasures. We have to take Jesus' words here, and we have to do a treasure check. We have to do a treasure hunt every day. Maybe every hour. We've got to ask ourselves, where is my treasure? What is my treasure? And if it's not Jesus, we need to seek him. We need to follow him. We need to put him first. We need to ask him to be the center of our hearts and the object of our desire. Now, all of this is not simply an exercise of the mind. It's not simply a feat of the intellect. It takes that. But we are talking about your heart. You've got to absorb this in your whole being. It's got to be sealed in your head and on your heart. It so that you truly know it. In other words, it's got to be real. It's got to be real. It has to be as real as the house that you live in. It's got to be as real as the car that you drive. It's got to be as real as your job. It's got to be as real as your family. It's got to be as real as your friends. Jesus has to be as real as any other good in your life. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Through this teaching, Jesus wants us to have proper perspective in life. He wants us to have proper orientation in life. He wants us to have our focus and our gaze and our goal to be in the right place. Namely, heavenward. Heavenward. And he wants our gaze to be heavenward, not because this life means nothing, not because this existence is passing away. He wants our gaze to be heavenward because that's where our treasure is. That's where Jesus is. Therefore, our gaze, our focus, our goal should be where Jesus is, in heaven. And that's a healthy eye, in the words of Jesus. A healthy eye. It's how we should be looking at the world. It's how we should be looking at life. It's how we should be looking at our day in and day out. Jesus mentions this in verse 22. He says this in verse 22. If your eye's healthy, your whole body will be full of light. The image is that the eye is the vessel for allowing light into the body. If your eye is right, if your gaze is right, then you're going to be full of light. But if you're focused on a treasure other than Jesus, then you're only letting darkness in. Your eye should be on your treasure in heaven, because that's where we're headed. That's our destination. That's our target. That's our end. And what this orientation does, what this heavenward goal does, is show us this, that we are pilgrims on a journey. It shows us that life is not static. Life is not fixed. We are children of the Heavenly Father traveling to an destination, which means that this world, this existence, is not all that there is. It means that the good things, the gifts on this earth that we are tempted to make into idols are not all that there is. It means also that the bad things, the injustice and the pain and the suffering and the tears and the hardships and the burdens that we bear, that's not all there is to in life. There's something more. We have treasure. And we are on a road to attain that treasure. Now, most of y'all know, I grew up in a very small church in the mountains of Virginia. Small church. And in this church, we sang old-timey gospel hymns. That's what we sang every single week. And a lot of those hymns that we sang were focused on heaven. Most of the hymns that we sang were focused on heaven. And when the roll is called up yonder, and over in the glory land, and hymns like that we sang every week. Now, I went through a time where I was very critical of these hymns, thinking that they were some sort of escape. that it took the focus away from living here and now, that it took away from facing trouble here and now, but I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. Because that's the perspective that Jesus would give us. That's the orientation that Jesus would give us. Knowing that your treasure is in heaven, knowing that you are on a journey means this. Life is hard, but it's not always going to be this way. Life is good, but the good things aren't eternal. If your treasure is in heaven, if your goal is, you can have a proper relationship with the good things in your life. You understand the good things in your life are gifts. They're blessings given to you from the hand of the Lord. You don't own them. You don't possess them. You don't cling to them, and they don't possess you. You're simply a steward entrusted with them for a time by the Father. Which means this, we have to ask, how can I glorify the Father in what he's given me? How can I glorify the Father with what he's given me? How can I glorify the Father through my work? How can I glorify the Father through the relationships that he has given me? How can I glorify the Father through the time that he has given me? How can I through the gifts he has given me, whether that's singing or organizing or hospitality or teaching or whatever. How can I glorify the Father through my finances? How can I use my money for his glory? All this is what Jesus means by laying up treasures in heaven. That's laying up treasures in heaven. Laying up treasure in heaven is living and following Jesus Christ. And doing so with every single part of your life. Giving Jesus glory with every part of your life. And not for salvation, but as a response to salvation. As a response to the one who is your treasure. Where is your treasure? Where's your heart? I pray it's in heaven. I pray it is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are yours, and you've bought us with a price, a great price, your son Jesus. Your son Jesus, who is our treasure. Father, help us to set our eyes upon Jesus. Help our hearts to be full of him. Help our lives to be centered upon him. Help our orientation and our gaze to be heavenward, so that we have proper orientation to this life, to the gifts that you give us in this life, to the challenges that we face in this life. We pray all this in Jesus' name, amen.